Our scripture lesson today begins another part of this series, as Anna mentioned. Each week in worship, we will learn about the life of a different ancestor of our faith, a different hero of our faith, as the book of Hebrews refers to these folks as the great cloud of witnesses, those who have gone before us and taught us what faith in God looks like through their lives. Today we learn about the story of Sarah, which is appropriate, for Abraham and Sarah are really the beginning of the Hebrew story. All the stories that occur before them in the book of Genesis are at the large worldwide level, telling stories for all humanity. But it's in the particular people of Abraham and Sarah that the lens of Scripture in the Old Testament begins to focus, not on all humanity, but on a particular people who will become a covenant people, God's chosen people, descended from these two. So let us listen to a particular part of Sarah's story. As Anna told in the children's message before this, Sarah has already heard, along with Abraham, the promise that in their old age they are to be blessed with children, or at least with one child, and she cannot believe that truth, at least at first. Let us listen for the word of the Lord from the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. They said to him, "Where is your wife, Sarah?" He said to them, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old, and my husband is old," she meant to say really old, "shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. He said to her, "Oh, yes, you did laugh." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Many years ago, a relative of mine went off to college. She was so excited to be starting this new journey, this new adventure of maturing and growing into adulthood. She got there early, settled into her dorm room, showed up early for the first event of freshman orientation, and while she was there in those first few days, she quickly made friends, got registered for all the right classes, figured out where she would eat, how she would decorate her room. She was settling in marvelously. She even met a boy real quick. That first weekend came, and she came home to tell her parents how great things were going. She told them about the wonderful classes she was registered for, how excited she was. She told them about the friends she was making. And she mentioned this boy she'd met as well. And the mother started paying attention with keen interest. This was mighty early to have met a fellow. She said, "Oh, you'd love him. He's an artist. He's really a wonderful person. In fact, his family, they've got twins in their family. There are two of them. He's one of two. He's from here in Mobile. And she kept going on and on, telling more and more details about this young man and his family. And finally her mother said, "Well, sweetie, I'm sorry, but you can't date that boy." And she said, "What? I'm 18 years old. I'm an adult. I'm a freshman in college. I didn't come home to be told who I can and can't date. Just who do you think you are?" And her mother said, "Sweetie, no, you don't understand. You can't date that boy. He's your second cousin." And that's when the Wilson family started holding family reunions every year. It's important to make sure you know who your cousins are for a lot of reasons. That's a true story. In a sense, that's what our summer series is this summer and these months ahead. It's a big family reunion. We're gathering together with all the saints who've gone before us, with our ancestors throughout the ages in the church. We're gathering together around their words and their mission and their message. We're gathering together in a family reunion to tell the stories, to pass them on from one generation to the next. And especially, it's fitting that in the midst of this time of looking back, our sermons, our scriptures are all drawn from these Old Testament witnesses of the faith, ancestors, heroes who've gone before us. The great Southern preacher, John Claypool, wrote a whole book about these folks who've gone before us, and the title of the book is A Glad Reunion. And in the introduction, he says, "In order to understand ourselves as the people of God today, we need to look back across the centuries to all that lies behind us." And this, of course, is where the Old Testament fits so beautifully into the scheme of things, he says. "For the Old Testament is to the church what a family reunion is to a particular family. Namely, it's a place of remembrance, a place of history, a repository of tradition. It can be thought of as a family scrapbook in which pictures and memorabilia from the past are beautifully preserved. The Old Testament is where we get in touch with our religious root system. And this is as important to our faith as family stories are to our particular family heritage. A family reunion to learn the stories of our family of faith." Whenever I'm conducting premarital counseling with a couple in preparation for their marriage, one of the assignments that they are given, some of you in the room have been a part of this, is to become, is to learn the story, the history of the family you're marrying into. To become, in a sense, a historian who can tell those people's story really well, because you're about to become connected to those people. Otherwise, it's hard to find your footing. Where exactly do I fit in as a new spouse in this family that's been going for generations and generations, a system that's been in existence long before I was on the scene? Some of our families are quite weird, aren't they? We've got inside stories that you have to know the other stories to understand. We've got entire jokes that can be conjured up with the mention of just one word placed at the exact right moment. After we were married, my wife said, "When y'all get together, you're talking a whole other language. I don't understand what's happening half the time." And of course, we've got those inside family jokes, the ones that make us laugh. We know the punchlines before they're even close to coming in the joke. Those family jokes. "Do you remember that time? Do you remember that time? Do you? You remember that time in our family? That time when Grandma Sarah and Grandpa Abe when someone came and told them that they were going to have a baby? A baby? Really? She was 90 and he was 100? A baby? Really? No. This was time for them to be checking into the geriatric unit, not the maternity ward. Time to build a ramp up the front door, not to add a nursery on the side. What a joke. What a holy sense of humor that messenger had. What a joke. These two, Sarah and Abraham, had been part of a long-running joke that God had been putting together for decades at this point. It began when God called them, "Leave your land, leave your family, leave your home, leave your heritage, leave all the things that you have known, and I, a God you did not know about until this very moment, will lead you to a new land and will give you a covenant promise when you get there." And these two took the bait. They followed, not knowing where they were going, laughing along the way, I'm sure, at how ridiculous and absurd this seemed. But they went nonetheless. And once they got to this land that God had led them to, there was a promise given, a vision one night, a covenant promise, threefold. You'll have the gift of a child of generations to follow you, the gift of a land to call your home, the gift of a blessing, that you will be blessed, so that through you all the families of the earth will be blessed. But that was decades ago, before our story occurs. They'd been wandering around laughing about this joke of a promise for many, many years. They tried their own ways to make it come true, and those never worked out. In the previous chapter, just before our scripture reading today, God revisits Abraham and tells him, reminds him of the covenant promise that his wife Sarah would have a child. And you know what Abraham did? The scripture tells us he literally fell on his face laughing. Laughing. And now Sarah, too, hiding behind the tent flap, hears these heavenly messengers talk about another generation, a child in their old age, and she bursts out laughing as well. Boy, this family has some good inside jokes, don't they? This family, we've got some stories that make us chuckle. You remember that time that Moses and all the Hebrews were running away from slavery? And came up on a great big sea. Oh, they were doomed and done for. There was no way they were getting out of that. But the holy sense of humor kicked in. And the waters parted. And they walked on dry land. The joke was on the Pharaoh, it turns out. When he tried to cross. And the flood returned. You remember that time with old cousin David? When he was a boy, and he walked out and faced that giant of a man, that fierce warrior, Goliath, that everybody else was too afraid to fight, full of a little bit of cockiness and a whole lot of trust, he laughed. "Ha, who is this guy compared to the God that I know?" And he was victorious. You remember the time that crazy old Uncle Isaiah, when the people had been taken away as slaves in Babylon, they were living as exiles, and crazy Uncle Isaiah had a dream one night, and he got up and he wrote it down to tell everybody about the day when they would finally come back home, when they would travel through the desert on a highway for God that would pop up out of nowhere. When he dreamed about mountains being made low and valleys being lifted up. What a joke. What a joke. Is anything too wonderful for our God? And then, of course, there's that biggest and best inside joke of all, the one that gets everybody to chuckle. When the long-awaited Messiah, the firstborn of our family of faith, came as nothing. Nothing. Just a baby born to a couple of nobody parents in a barn in Bethlehem of all places. His whole life was a joke, laughing in the face of all the powers of the world. He lived and breathed and taught and healed. A king, a lord wandering around without even a home, a place to lay his head. You remember those stories he used to tell? Those parables, he called them? Full of humor. What jokes, tiny little mustard seeds that would grow to be the largest trees on the whole planet? You remember that time he was teaching one day and he said, "Blessed are you who weep, for you will laugh." Blessed are you who weep, for you will laugh. He knew that story from Grandma Sarah and Grandpa Abe, but it would come true in his life as well, because sure enough, there was a lot of weeping. A whole lot of weeping. When all the powers of this world, the leaders of the government, the leaders of the religious system, the leaders in the town, the leaders in the empire, when all the leaders and all the people behind them put him up on a cross and hung him to die, there was a whole lot of weeping that day and for the days that followed, until 3 days later, laughter and joy broke out. They laughed in the face of death itself, because he was raised from the dead. Is anything too wonderful for our God? And all that story, all that contagious laughter passed on from one generation to the next, begins here with Grandma Sarah and Grandpa Abe. When they hear that joke of all jokes, that they were going to have a son, this unbelievable good news, a family, a blessing, a covenant, a people, a home, that contagious laughter that begins with them carries over to us as well, to this family of faith. Every time we gather together at this table, at this great, grand family reunion, we remember the stories that have shaped us into the people of faith we are. We remember the stories of a God who is far more wonderful and able to do far more abundantly than we could ever ask or imagine. Our wildest dreams, it turns out, aren't wild enough for what God is up to. Do you remember the time? You remember the time when that long-awaited baby was finally born to a 90-year-old mother and a 100-year-old father. And just to make sure no one forgot, they named him Isaac, which in Hebrew means laughter. Thanks be to God for the stories that have shaped us into who we are. Thanks be to God for the holy humor that runs throughout this family of faith and has been with us through the generations. Thanks be to God, to whom be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen.